Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Little Van Halen bringing us back, little jump music to get us started, get us cranked out here. We're going to jump right into our visit with our good friend Beverly Williams. She is, as I told you earlier, she's not just an original member of the Brain Trust. She's an original member of the show. She was here before there was a Brain Trust. She is the seed of the Brain Trust. She's the original little sprout that I put in the ground for the Brain Trust way back in 1997. Can you believe that? And that's right. We've been around all this time and still going. I'm amazed too, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you're not alone. I'm amazed too. Anyway, we're glad Beverly's back with us again. She's the co-author of The 30-Second Commute. There is nobody on the planet, probably in the galaxy, who knows more about home-based business than Beverly Williams. She's our good friend. Beverly, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm quite honored.
It's good. Has anybody ever told you were the seed of anything? You were the sprout? You were the little sapling. You were the little sprig that we put in the ground and said, let's build a brain trust around this.
I think I was told I was a twinkle in somebody's eye one time, but no, yeah. I don't think I've ever been a seed that sprouted.
I wish somebody would call me a sapling again. I'd like to be that skinny again.
That would be nice, yes. I would take that one as well. That's what happens when you grow into a sturdy oak, right?
Well, that's right. And what is it they say about ladies? She's thin as a reed or something like that? That's what we aspire to, isn't it? Hey,
yeah.
What does they say? You can never be too rich or too thin, something like that?
There's something like that. I'm neither one, so I've got a big goal ahead of me.
It's good to have you back, Bev. What's going on in the world of home-based business?
Well, thank you. We're seeing a resurgence again, typical of this type of economy, whether it's theoretically or in reality a recession. I'm seeing a lot of people calling and saying, I want to start a home-based business, or I want to start a small business, and it's going to be in my home. And I have a lot of concerns for people when we go through something like this about their reasons for doing it.
Yeah. What are some of the reasons they're giving you?
Well, I had one yesterday that I thought was very interesting. He quit his job in a temper tantrum, in my opinion, not his, because he didn't like the way his boss treated him, and therefore he was going to start his own business and go into competition against
By
the company
golly,
he just left.
We'll yes. show him.
Uh-huh. That's exactly the attitude. And, you know, my first words to him is, you better go find another job somewhere and hope somebody will hire you.
Right now.
Yep. Exactly. Don't walk. Just run.
What did he say?
He was quite taken back and didn't understand why I was saying that. And I spent the next 20 minutes, you know, turning blue in the face, trying to give him all the reasons why he wasn't going to succeed. I don't think that I got through to him because, unfortunately, I think he was still working on temper. But
this guy was wrong. This guy was wrong on many levels, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Don't start a small business out of revenge,
mm-hmm.
for one thing. Even if you got a good idea, and I would never be the one, Beverly, to tell somebody that they couldn't do it because stranger things have happened.
Right.
But that sure is a dysfunctional reason to be a small business owner.
It is a very dysfunctional reason. If he can't get along with his boss, how is he going to get along with others? If he quits a job that is a steady paycheck, in a time when jobs are scarce and people are holding onto their money tighter than they were a year or two ago, how is he going to be able to go out and control that temper while he tries to market this new business? What is he going to do for income between now and then?
Mm-hmm.
What is he going to do for startup funding? You know, it is the least reason I think I could ever tell somebody why they should not be starting a business.
So here's what you could have said to the guy. And I just thought of this. So I wouldn't have thought about it yesterday either, but I just thought about it as I was telling you. What you should have said was, okay, so you're going to call your business the – my business is called I'm Proving That My Boss Was Right Shop. Because what's going to happen within 12 months, if you last that long –
Yeah.
One day you're going to wake up and say, "Hey, he was right."
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he fire me? Why did he wait till I quit? He should have fired me. And there's one other thing, Beverly. This is the big myth in all this, folks. When you work for somebody else, when you're an employee, you have one boss typically.
Mm-hmm.
When you work for yourself, you have many bosses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You'll never have more bosses than when you become a small business owner.
That is absolutely correct. Absolutely.
Including
correct.
And this is what blows people away, Beverly, including your employees.
Mhm. Yeah, that's the big one that most people don't realize at all.
We got people looking at us right now, Beverly, like a puppy looking at you when you try, you know, look, not rocking their head back and forth like, "What's coming out of your mouth? What are you doing?"
Mhm. The really bad thing for this person is that it's a lawn service company, and so it is not even a year-round type of position.
Oh, seasonal.
It's seasonal. Mm. As you know, I live in a mountainous area that winter starts in early October. We get snow in early October. So he's got at the most 2.5 more months or less of time to try and get this built up, get his customer base, get all of his equipment together, and actually do some jobs that produce an income that might get him through the winter.
Oh, no, that's not going to happen, Bev.
No, it's not.
You and I both know in an area like yours, never mind the grass being frosted for a month or more before it starts cooling off, before it gets really cold, the grass stops growing then.
That's right.
Is this a married guy? Has he got kids?
Yes. Yeah,
oh, my.
Unfortunately.
Folks, the lesson here is, you know, living well is the best revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is, I hate to say it, but, you know, this is a cautionary tale for you, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure that your attitude, you've got the right attitude. And we come back, Beverly, let's talk about some of a way that this guy could have done this differently. Let's create a new Bedford Falls story here.
Okay.
20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Beverly Williams is our guest. We're going to be right back. Here's John Mellencamp to take us out.
All my friends in small town. My parents live in the same small town. They in the park. They don't know I'm alone.
Little Chicago bringing us back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website, so smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. Lots and lots of stuff there. Smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find the show and all the other things we do. And askjim.biz, our knowledge base, where you get small business answers. Now, Beverly Williams is our guest this half hour, and she is all over. Nobody has contributed more to both of those websites than our good friend Beverly Williams. She's the co-author of The 30-Second Commute. If you're home-based or want to be, you got to have this book, The 30-Second Commute, by Beverly Williams and Don Cooper, our mutual friend Don Cooper. And Beverly, the book's still available at Amazon, right?
It is. Yes, it is.
So check that out, folks, The 30-Second Commute. Beverly was just telling us about a person, and it's not important what this guy does, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's just adding to his degree of difficulty, the fact that he's wanting to go into the lawn care business. But Beverly, let's talk. The guy quit his business in a huff. He's mad at his boss, and it happens all the time. And number one, I think the guy maybe needs some counseling. If you've got a job with wife and kids, you know, maybe it shouldn't be all about you at this moment.
Right.
So maybe that's an issue there. And if you can't get along, let me tell you something, folks. And I'm going to lay this right down on the table here, Beverly. If you can't get along with your boss, what makes you think you're going to get along with customers? Because
yes.
Even and you can say, well, I've got a bad boss. He's really a hateful guy. Well, what do you know? You think all customers are sweet and lovable?
They better not think that.
That's
probably the last thing most people are, or not most. I shouldn't say it that way, but it's the one person that gets under your skin that you're going to remember. You know, it's the bad experience that always comes back to you, and the 10,000 other good ones never get remembered. The customer that is the most difficult could turn out to be your best customer in the long run,
mm-hmm.
depending on how you handle it. And if you can't handle your anger, even if you don't spout it out of your mouth, if your body language shows it, you are in big trouble.
So this guy, let's talk about what he could have done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, he can't legally go compete with his boss. You're not supposed to, in most states, you're not really supposed to own a business competing against the guy that you're working for.
Right.
And so that's not right. It's unethical. It's also maybe even illegal in your state. But I don't know, did he work for somebody in the winter, for the same guy in the winter or not, but you could do something different. If you wanted to start your own business, find something that you can do at night, on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another thing, Beverly. I would learn as much as I could from that person, even if I didn't
mm-hmm.
like the person.
Mm-hmm.
Learn, if you want to be in that business one day, and you got a right to do that when you make a break, but learn everything you can from that person.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's go back to the competition, first of all. One of the first questions I ask people when they tell me they've just quit their job or they're going to quit their job and start something the same, I ask them if they find an employment contract
mm-hmm.
and whether or not there's a non-compete clause
mm-hmm.
in there. And most people look at me and say, well, yeah, I signed something, but I don't know what it was.
Right.
Or I think it was just about my taxes. Well, first of all, you better make sure that you didn't sign something that says you will not compete in any way, shape, or form,
for a period
or
of time.
Any other limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So the second thing, then, is if you're going to be doing the same thing, there a lot of times you can talk to your boss about taking on extra work after hours on your own, particularly if the business is busy. And if it is busy, then that may be this little bullet in your head that says, ooh, maybe there is enough business for another
mm-hmm.
whatever that business is. If there's not enough to keep everybody busy, then you better rethink what you're doing. If you can work in that field, the field that you want to start your business, and let people know that you'd like to start a business someday, you don't have to say it's going to be the same one. A lot of times people will then talk to you. The boss may talk to you and say, well, you know, here's some of the things you have to consider when you're your own boss, and they'll
mm-hmm.
usually try and talk you out of it. But what they do is give you all the bad points, all the negative things about being your own boss.
But write all those down, folks.
Yeah, you need to know those things because you're going to face them too.
Yep.
Maybe not exactly the same thing. Maybe some things that irritate this person isn't going to irritate you, but it's still there. All the things that they talk about are things that you're going to be facing as well, and so you need to be aware of them and think through how are you going to handle these things. It's very important to have open eyes, open mind, and an open wallet. So the other thing is to start putting aside, you know, even if it's $10 a week, put money
right.
aside in a special account or a special place for those startup expenses. The next most common thing that I get are people who come to me and say, you know, well, I have no money.
Right.
I have bad credit. I don't have a credit card.
I just quit my job.
Yeah, I just quit my job.
Help me start my business, Beverly.
Usually it's where can I get one of these grants I'm always hearing about?
One of those grants, exactly.
Yeah.
So, folks, be careful. I love my small business. Beverly loves hers. But, you know, we didn't quit our jobs and start them the next moment. Hey, Beverly, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
See you next time. Beverly Williams,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen. I will be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.